as our text. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." The theme just this morning is Martin Luther and the Diet of Worms. Today is a very significant day in church history. It is the 500th anniversary of the Diet of Worms, which was one of the greatest events in the life of the Lord's servant, Martin Luther. The Diet of Worms lasted for a total of about 4 months, but the most important part was when Luther appeared before it, and that took place between the 16th and the 18th of April, 1521. The most significant day, the most important day that has gone down in history was the 18th of April. So that's 500 years ago today. It's providential that the anniversary has fallen on the Lord's Day. A diet was the word used in Germany to describe a large gathering, either of the church or state, that was brought together to settle questions of doctrines to be believed or duties to be performed. Worms is a city situated on the Rhine in West Germany. And way back then, 500 years ago, it was a very important city because it was the place where the Emperor of Germany had his residence. And that's why it's called the Diet of Worms. It was a large gathering held in the city of Worms in Germany, and it was held to challenge the doctrines that were being taught by Martin Luther at that particular time. And I want us to consider very quickly some questions just about the Diet of Worms. Think of the question, what led to the Diet of Worms? Well, the previous year, June 1520, the Pope sent Luther a papal bull. A papal bull wasn't an animal, it was a letter. A letter with the Pope's official seal upon it. This letter warned Martin Luther, if he did not recant, if he did not retract his teachings, within a period of 60 days, that he risked being excommunicated from the church. The bull also ordered the people not to listen to Martin Luther's preaching, and they would actually go out and burn his writings. What was Martin Luther's response to the Pope's bull? Well, he denounced popery, and then he publicly burnt the Pope's bull in a bonfire under an oak tree in Wittenberg, and that oak in subsequent years became known as Luther's oak. Of course, the Pope was furious, and he issued another bull in which he formally excommunicated Martin Luther from the Church of Rome. In other words, he put him out of the membership of the Church. That took place on the 3rd of January 1521. And to this day, men and women, that has never been lifted. There was an ecumenical agreement in recent years between the Lutheran World Federation, the Methodists, and the Catholic Church, but they still did not lift the excommunication of the Roman Catholic Church upon Martin Luther. Up until that time, Luther expected to stay within the Church of Rome and to reform its corruptions from within. That's why those men are described as reformers. They intended to stay within the Church of Rome and to reform it. They could see its corruptions. They could see the things that weren't in accordance with the Scriptures, but they felt they could reform it from within. But now Martin Luther realized that that would be impossible. So at that time, the Church of the Reformation was born. So that's just a little of what led to the Diet of Worms. Think of the question, what was the Diet of Worms? Well, remember I've said to you it was a large gathering that was held in order to settle important questions. Merle de Vigny, he's the great Reformation historian. I encourage you to look out for the histories that he wrote. Merle de Vigny said, "Never had a man to appear before so imposing an assembly." There were 204 dignitaries in the Diet of Worms who would sit in judgment upon Martin Luther. But the entire assembly, men and women, included an audience of 4,000 to 5,000 people. So just to give you some idea of the scale of what we're talking about here. The diet had been arranged by Charles V. He was the Emperor of Germany at that time. And he arranged it in conjunction with the Pope of Rome. The Pope at that time was Leo X. And Leo X died in December of 1521, just a few months after the Diet of Worms. Their purpose in holding the diet was either one of two things. They either wanted to get Luther to recant his teachings, in other words, to retract them, to say that he no longer held to those teachings, or else if they couldn't get him to recant, they wanted to get the authority to put Martin Luther to death. See, they wanted to stop Luther spreading his message, spreading his doctrine, and they were determined to do it, even if it meant putting Martin Luther to death. Providentially, the Lord raised up many good friends for Martin Luther, even among the great princes of Germany at that time. And they had protected Luther. They had used their influence. And that's why the Pope hadn't been able to stop Martin Luther before the Diet of Worms. In fact, his friends didn't want him to go to Worms. They were very concerned for his safety. They reminded him that the safe passage, and Luther had been promised safe passage to Worms, but they reminded him that the safe passage promised to John Huss over a century before had not been honoured by the Church of Rome. But Luther replied to his friends with one of his most famous statements. He said, "If there be as many devils in Worms as tiles on the housetops, I will still go there." German houses, some of you have been on Reformation tours, you visited Germany. German houses have many small tiles or slates on them. So that will give you some idea of what he was saying. If there be as many devils in Worms as tiles on the housetops, I will still go there. You think of his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," the final verse, is perhaps based on that idea, based on those circumstances, that quote. He says, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us." So Luther wouldn't run. Luther didn't fear. He didn't run away from Worms for fear. He went to that city to make a stand for God and make a stand for the gospel. The third question, what took place at the Diet of Worms? Well, you think of the word Protestant. It's a word that's often greatly misunderstood. It literally means to raise a witness for the truth. And therefore, those that raise such a witness for the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel, they have been termed as Protestants. And in the 16th century, Martin Luther, by the grace and power of God, he raised a great witness for the truth of Scripture, that brought about what we call the great Protestant Reformation. And at Worms, he made one of his most important witnesses for the doctrines of the Word of God. At that great assembly on the 17th of April, it was a Wednesday, 500 years ago. On Wednesday, the 17th of April, 1521, Luther was asked two questions. He was asked if the pile of books on the table were his, if he had written them, authored them, published them. What Luther did was he asked for their titles to be read publicly, for the whole diet to hear them. And then he confirmed that those books were indeed his, that he had authored every one of them. And then he was asked to repudiate the books, and especially to repudiate what he had taught in every one of his writings and in every one of his sermons. Luther asked for time. He asked for time for reflection. He was granted one day for that reflection. Most of that night of the 17th into the morning of the 18th, Martin Luther spent in prayer. He was pleading with God to give him the strength to stand and to faithfully speak for the Lord before that great Diet of Worms. The following day, the 18th of April, has been called the greatest day in Luther's life. Luther once more stood before the vast gathering, and he was again asked by Dr. John Eck. He was a Roman Catholic theologian. Dr. John Eck asked him if he would now repudiate, now withdraw the books that he had written. And Martin Luther's reply has been called the speech that shook the world. He made the speech first in Latin and then in German. And the speech ended with these words: "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to do anything against one's conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. So help me, God." You think, what courage, what boldness the Lord gave to Martin Luther that day, to stand firm, to raise his voice, to raise that witness and to speak for the Lord that day. And brethren and sisters, let us ask God to give us the same courage in our own day. Remember the Lord's words to Joshua that we took. Here is our text this morning: "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." If you study the life of Joshua, you'll find the Lord gave him that message to be strong and of a good courage. The Lord gave that message to him 7 times, repeated it over and over to his heart. So let us, brethren and sisters, obey that great exhortation. You know, an old army officer met Martin Luther when Luther was on his way back into the Diet to give his response to it. And the old army officer said this to him: "What you're now going to do requires a great deal more courage than I ever needed in all the battles that I ever fought." And that was true, brethren and sisters. So let us today give thanks to God for the life of Martin Luther and the courage that the Lord gave to him that day. And let us pray for grace ourselves to be able to stand up for Jesus. There's one other question, just quickly. What happened to Luther after the Diet of Worms? After Luther spoke that day, the emperor was filled with rage. He said he'd had enough of such words, and in a rage he departed from the Diet. Luther was safely escorted back to his lodgings, and on the 25th of April, a week later, he left Worms to start the journey back to his home in Wittenberg. He should have been home in a few days. It was nothing more than several days' journey back to Wittenberg, even in those days. But it would be more than a year before Martin Luther was back in Wittenberg, because in the course of his journey, he strangely disappeared. You ask what happened? Well, while passing through a forest, he was captured by armed men on horses. These men were not his enemies, but they were his friends. They were acting under the authority of the Elector of Saxony, one of Luther's most powerful friends. And for his safety, they took him to the Wartburg Castle. Some in the meeting have visited the Wartburg Castle. It's a beautiful place, a lovely location. Luther remained there for more than 10 months. He used the name Junker George, or the Knight George, just to help protect his identity. He was there for more than 10 months. We could say that he was in lockdown for nearly a year. But the time wasn't wasted, brethren and sisters, at the Wartburg, because there Martin Luther did one of his most important works. What was that? Well, he translated the New Testament into the German language. Imagine that. In a period of 10 months, translated the entire New Testament into German. It gives you some idea of his ability. He later translated the Old Testament as well. And Luther's translation became the best German translation of the Scriptures. If you go to the Wartburg, you can still visit and stand in the room that he used as a study. It is the best part of the visit, the best part of the tour. And brethren and sisters, I think the lesson for us, especially, it's very relevant for the days in which we live, when strange circumstances come, when strange circumstances come across our paths, even periods of confinement, remember God has a purpose for it. God has a work for you to do for him even then. And what we need to do in those circumstances is pray and ask the Lord to show it to us, to reveal to us what it is he would have us to do, even in such circumstances. Just in closing, let me say this. Even at the Wartburg, Luther had his trials. He had gotten away from many of his enemies. He had gotten away from the emperor, gotten away from the pope, but he didn't get away from the devil. When Luther was in the study doing that great work for God, studying, translating the scriptures and so on, the devil came to attack him. And Martin Luther was so conscious of the presence of the devil in that study that he lifted his ink pot and threw it across the room at the devil. The ink pot hit the wall, left an ink stain on the wall that stayed on the wall for a very long time afterwards. And there's a warning there for us too. When you're busy for the Lord, the devil won't be far away. When you're doing a work faithfully for God, the devil will want to attack you. You think of what Paul said to the Thessalonians. Satan hindered us. That's what the devil wants to do with the cause of the gospel. Wants to hinder its progress, hinder its spread. Peter warned that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, brethren and sisters, we need always to be on our guard, always on our guard against the attacks of the great enemy of the gospel. And we all need to pray for power and grace to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here then, brethren and sisters, it's just a little of the story of what took place on this day 500 years ago. A little of the story of Martin Luther and the Diet of Worms. And may the Lord encourage you from it. May the Lord encourage you today, especially to the faithful to him. The Bible says of David that after he had served his own generation according to the will of God, he fell on sleep. So may the Lord encourage you to be faithful in serving your own generation according to the will of God. And may the Lord encourage you to be strong for him and to stand for him. And I pray too that even a little of what we've said this morning might encourage you to read a little more of this story yourself. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Think of that hymn just as we finish. P.P. Bliss's hymn, standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honour them, the faithful few. All hail to Daniel's band. The third verse says, many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall, if met by Daniel's band. And here's an exhortation for us today. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his hosts defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Maybe we could put in there, dare to be a Luther. And dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. Let's have a wee word of prayer.